Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 12 in the NFL. And now we get into the fun part of the schedule here. Bye weeks will be over soon. The Thanksgiving games, three games for next week on Turkey Day. But first, we got to get through Week 12. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina, joined as always by Mitch Goldich and Gary Grameling. Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm good. Jimmy, you must be doing great. This has to be your favorite week of the season. It's the Chargers bye week.
The Chargers, I cannot pick their games right no matter what happens.
This week you don't have to.
No matter what happens. Over last week, could have had it there. Phillip Rivers is not a corpse at this point.
You told us the whole year you're done picking Chargers games.
Well, and then, yeah. I was done picking the sides, right, and then right, I went with the over, mainly because of the Chiefs. But my God, Phillip Rivers, what is the deal there?
That was when he puts his hands over his ear holes, he's trying to hear, like, what did Jimmy pick this week?
I mean, I know you want to keep playing so you don't have to go home to your nine kids, but it's time to just suck it up and hang them up and go be a dad and, you know, deal with the terror that must be your house with all those children. All right. So we will get week 12 rolling. Good games again. Like last week, good games in the 425 and primetime slots. And there's a couple of good games at 1 o'clock. Let's get it rolling right now with the resurging. Wait, is resurging a word? Resurgent. Resurgent Falcons at home, giving 4.5 points to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Big total here of 52. Gary, are you in on the Falcons bandwagon after they beat the Saints and Panthers?
I kind of am. It's I really can't remember a midseason turnaround like this. I'm sure I'm forgetting one, but
I'm
we
sure
all
someone does it every year.
we all wrote Dan Quinn's obit, and it was just a matter of, okay, are they going to show up? Now, and all of a sudden they're showing. They are destroy division opponents on the road. Saints are going to the playoffs. Panthers are playoff adjacent at this point, and they destroyed both of them. Whatever issues they were having on the defensive side of the ball, which seemed to be communication issues, seems to have been sort of smoothed out over that bye week. I don't know what they did during the bye week, but...
Well, did you see last week there was a graphic during their game against the Panthers where 3 weeks ago, they moved Raheem Morris from wide receivers coach to defensive backs coach.
Yeah.
And then since then, their defense has been lights out. Very bizarre that, you know, that you go from wide receiver coach to DB coach, but there's a theory that that's why the defense has improved.
Well, and really, and the pass rush has been a major story of the turnaround, too, not even just the defensive backs.
Pass rush has been better. Defensive backs have been much better. Raheem Morris had been a defensive coach. And that's been, if there's a criticism of Dan Quinn, it's he loves hiring ex-head coaches in positions that probably should go to younger guys. I mean, whatever. It's a debate that no one in the world wants to listen to. But he emphasizes leadership over sort of like X's and O's forward thinking type of guys. But look, it's working for him right now. They have been the team that they've been better than the team that a lot of us thought they'd be coming in. They destroyed the Saints. They destroyed the Panthers. I'm on the bandwagon. I will lean heavily Falcons here. I just hate betting Bucks games because the Bucks could score 60 or give up 60 any given week.
Mitch?
Yeah, so talking about Tampa, I mean, not just a matter of being on the Falcons bandwagon. I have been fading the Bucks all season, and I think I talk about this every single week. But yeah, with the Falcons turnaround, these to me are not just two teams trending in opposite directions, but I think two teams playing close to what I thought their true talent level was going to be for much of the season. Looking at Tampa's, I mean, you know, I feel like I just pick against the Bucks every week. They do have two of their three wins this year are on the road. This is a home game for the Falcons. 4.5. I was worried that 4.5 might feel like a little bit too much because I like to pick the Bucks to lose by 3 points every week as I've faded them. But you know, the Falcons, they're playing. It's hard to explain how much better they're playing, but with the defense playing that well, you'd think the Bucs are good for, what, three turnovers this week that they're going to get in Jameis' face and either force a fumble or force him to make a throw that they'll pick off, you know, multiple times. The Falcons, they're not getting much healthier. They're still going to be without Devontae Freeman and Austin Hooper, but I still think they're the better team. They're playing really well, and you know, it was easy to sort of talk myself into it, that even though 4.5 feels like more than I thought the line might be, I'm going to go with it. And I'm on the fence. This actually might be one of my best bets, but I like Falcons minus 4.5.
Yeah, I don't love the game. I think, like Gary, I'm sort of hesitant of betting Bucks games at this point. They're just so up and down and a very weird team. I'm not all in yet on the Falcons. I think Matt Ryan was out for a week or two with the Matt Schaub came in with the injury, and he's a little rejuvenated. I think maybe that helped him, but I'm still, it's not a crazy line, 4.5, but I do not like betting Bucks games, so stay away game there for me. Next game, the Broncos go into Buffalo. The Bills are 4-point favorites at home. The total here is your lowest total of the week of 38, Mitch.
Yeah, so there were a few surprises last week. I thought that Broncos' first half against Minnesota might have been the biggest surprise of the whole week. And then, of course, they promptly fell apart. Or you want to give credit to the Vikings and say that they stormed all the way back, ended up not winning the game, though they did cover, I guess. This one's interesting. I've thought for a few weeks now that the odds makers, or I guess the betting public, is not giving the Bills as much respect as they should. I remember that, we don't have to talk anymore about that Bills-Browns game that got me worked up a couple weeks ago. But anyway, now I think 4 feels a little bit high. I don't know. This is a good line. Now I'm looking at my notes here, and I'm like, I have nothing insightful to say about this game. It feels like two teams that are, I think the Bills have been better than a lot of people give them credit for. The Broncos have not been really exciting. I did not go in my Brandon Allen internet wormhole this week. It scares me a little, but I think this is one of those situations where you just look at the Bills and I think they're a better team than the Broncos. And I expect them to win the game somewhere, 2 to 7 points. And I think you just got to bite the bullet and lay 4 and take the better team. So I'm going to go Buffalo minus 4.
Gary?
Yeah, I like the Bills quite a bit here. I'll be honest, I thought this line was going to be like 6, maybe even 7.
Mm-hmm.
It is still Brandon Allen who, I love Rich Scangarello. If he doesn't get hired as a head coach, the Broncos offense coordinator this upcoming offseason, I'm going to offer him a couple million to be my personal head coach, just my life head coach. He's just done a fantastic job. That said, I think the Bills are the best coach defense in football. I think they are more than up to the task of holding down Brandon Allen and company. I worry a little bit that they've struggled against the run, but I think in their own building, I just think this is like a touchdown win for them.
Yeah, I like Buffalo a lot also. I think when you lose a game the way Denver lost it last week there in Minnesota, and then you have to go back on the road and face a pretty tough defense and hostile environment and all that. I think that's and it's a rookie quarterback. All those add up to, I think, a pretty easy cover for the Bills at minus 4. Next game in Chicago, the inept and unwatchable Bears giving 6.5 points somehow to the Giants. Total here is 40.5. Gary, will you lay 6.5 points with Mitch Trubisky?
Gosh,
Mitchell Trubisky.
I wish I really knew if Trubisky's hip was truly 100%, because that's clearly what has been holding him back this season. That hip pointer that just keeps on popping up at the worst times. 6 is just, it's too much for this team to be giving, even in their own building where they do have a pretty significant home field advantage. Giants, you got to lean Giants here. I'm not going to best bet the Giants, but Bears can't be given 6 to Bears couldn't give 6 to the 3 of us, 4 of us if you include Shelby.
Yeah, I happen to agree there, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm with you. I considered picking the Giants to win outright in our staff picks and then decided to go with the Bears, which was maybe a little bit cowardly of me, but I bring it up now anyway for unknown reasons. But yeah, it's hard to imagine the Bears beating anybody by 7 right now. It feels like they laid the groundwork to pull Trubisky by pulling him last week and claiming that it was an injury, even though it came at a critical time in the game. It feels like now they've already done it, so it's a lot easier to do it a second time. And whether they blame it on an injury or ineffectiveness, I think we're going to see Chase Daniel again, definitely at some point this season, and it could easily end up happening in this game. The Giants, they've had final scores within 7 in 3 of the last 4 weeks, even though they haven't been winning games. But those are against, the Jets, Lions, and Cardinals, which is not a murderer's row, but neither are the Bears right now. I also think the Bears have seemed a little bit soft up the middle to me on defense, which has been a little surprising. But that Eagles game in the first half, they were just running the ball right up the middle. And then we saw more of it in that primetime game against the Rams where Todd Gurley looked better. And they're just running right up the middle against
No Akeem Hicks. He's their secret MVP.
Yeah, and that's just something that I've seen from them. So, you know, Saquon Barkley has been, like, banged up throughout the season and hasn't quite had the burst he had last year, I don't think. But I think, he can have sort of a get-right game. And so, yeah, this one, I'm going to take Giants plus 6.5 here. This is, I don't know how the Bears are 6.5-point favorites.
This is a stay away for me. I mean, I like Gary said, I'm not laying 6.5 points with Mitch Trubisky anywhere, anytime, anyhow. And a lot of people think, Chase Daniel needs to play, which I get when you watch Trubisky play. But if you watch Chase Daniel play against the Raiders in that London game that the Bears lost, Chase Daniel is not the answer at all. The Bears could benefit here, though, by the Giant defense not being any good. But this is a not a betting game for me and not a game I will watch. Although I could go on a DirecTV / rant here about the two New York teams playing at 1 o'clock this Sunday and screwing me. And it's a big sports bar Sunday for me this weekend. I'll just say that. I can't be at home with those two games on. All right, moving on. The Steelers are in Cincinnati. Pittsburgh laying 6.5 points. The total here is 39. And I don't know how you read the Bengals this year, but Mitch, why don't you try to do it for us?
Well, let's talk about the Steelers instead. I mean, the Bengals are awful. There's not much to say about them. The Steelers, everyone is talking about the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph situation at the end of last week's game, and that is taking away so much attention from how badly the Steelers played. In some ways, like, they're lucky more people aren't talking about I just thought that was a really dispiriting loss for them. They were a team that had some juice and they were on a run. I think they won four in a row, and then that game was the end of their winning streak, I think. But man, now they're just missing so many guys. Marquise Pouncey is suspended. And they had two of their receivers took huge shots and were knocked out of that game. Juju's going to be out this week. I think James Conner's going to be out again. And it's just like they have nobody left in a lot of spots. And the Steelers, a lot of their issues are on offense. Their defense is still pretty good. So I'm actually going to do something I rarely do on this pod. And I'm going to take the under 39. I do not take a lot of totals. But this just feels like a game that's going to be played in the teens. The Bengals, they have struggled to score points all season. And against that Steelers defense and with the Steelers walking wounded on offense, I'm not even going to worry about the sides, and I'm just going to go with an under.
Gary?
I was going to say, if you want to see two teams that are going to run a whole lot of Wildcat offense, this might be it. Mason Rudolph has been bad. He's been playing terribly. Yep. I don't know how else you would put it at this point. In the Rams win, he made a couple of throws that made you kind of think, okay, maybe he's turning the corner here. And then it was back to kind of the guy he has been. They went on the win streak because their defense was getting all those takeaways. Defense was scoring a lot of points. It was not sustainable. So the question becomes, they completely crushed the Bengals on a Monday night at home this year where the defense completely overwhelmed Cincinnati. Can they do that again? I wouldn't bank on that. I would take the Bengals on the points here. I realize the Bengals are they have their own issues here, but they hung around. They had the ball down 7 last week in Oakland. Yep. They were thoroughly outplayed in that game, but Cincinnati might steal one here, I think.
Yeah, maybe, but I would not bet this game. I'm with Mitch. I like the under here. I don't like a side, but 39. With those quarterbacks, always a chance for a pick six, a defensive touchdown. It's not a game I would go near. Speaking of the Steelers, we now go to Cleveland, who beat Pittsburgh last week on that Thursday night. Not really overly impressive with the 21-7 win, but the Browns now get a gift because they're at home against the Dolphins, and the Browns are laying 10.5 to Miami. The total here is 45. Gary, do the Browns get it all right here with the Dolphins coming in?
I think they do. I think this is when it's really the first time this season where you've looked at an opponent and been like, they can just run up the score. They can put up you know, they can have Odell score three touchdowns if they want to. This is really their first chance to just get fat on offense here. So I like them. Like I said last week, I think the Dolphins are still the same embarrassment they've been all year, even though they stole a couple wins there, which good for them. But they can't cover those Browns receivers. I think the Browns, with the opportunity to run up the score, they just go ahead and run up the score.
A little extra rest, too, for Cleveland coming off the Thursday night game, Mitch.
I disagree with you a little bit on the Dolphins. obviously they're a bad team, but remember, they were competitive in a few games before they finally got off the losing streak and won a couple. So they have two wins banked, and they also have had a handful of decent close games, you know, or at least a few before that where they were competitive in the first half and then kind of fell apart. Remember, they almost beat the Redskins, but it came down to a two-point conversion at the end. So the Dolphins have been a bad team, but they are not the historically bad team that we expected coming into the season, or at least that they were through September and maybe the beginning of October. You're right about Cleveland, and I mean, they've won two in a row. I just think that 10.5 is too much, and you know, they haven't really shown that ability to blow a team out. You're talking about Odell scoring three touchdowns. He's got one touchdown this whole season. Granted, he almost scored again last week, and they review took him down to like the 6-inch line, basically. But I just think 10.5 is too many. And for a competitive Dolphins team, I'm gonna expect them to at least hang in the game. And so I'll take all those points. If it was 9.5, I might be with you. But 10.5, getting that extra point there, that feels like a big one.
Yeah, I like the Browns here. I mean, if not in this game, when? I mean, if you're not going to get a blowout this season in one of those, you know, 31-10 wins, if it's not this week, when is it for the Browns? Kareem Hunt, I think, more reps now. They tried to use him a little more in their last game there. I think you may see a lot of him on Sunday, and I think that will help them offensively. And like Gary said, perfect game for them to try to get Odell going. Next game, the Saints are at home in New Orleans, giving 9.5 points to the Panthers. Total here, 47. I have to say, when on Monday morning when I was doing trying to guess the lines, I thought this one would be like a 5 or a 6. I thought it would be 6. It was the biggest discrepancy. One other biggest discrepancy, we'll get to it. But I thought 9.5 was high. And then as the week has gone on, I'm thinking, you know what, that line might be right. The Panthers might be shot. I don't know. Mitch, do you think the Panthers are shot?
Probably. This one hurts because I've been high on Carolina all season. And then last week, that was just a total stinker. They need to win this game to save their season. But realistically, we probably saw them, lose their season last week, and they're probably just done now. Kyle Allen was just he was a problem, and I don't know if he's regressed as the season's gone along, or if he's just overachieving. He was overachieving earlier in the year, and if McCaffrey was so good that it kind of hid some things. But I thought they put up a really good fight in that Packers loss in the snow, and then last week they just laid a total egg. It's funny. I've been following this Carolina team really closely. Last week's game, for whatever reason, like, bothers me more than that blowout loss in San Francisco where they gave up a 50 burger, because that was like, sometimes that happens. You have one and you can sort of excuse a bad game, and once it got out of hand, it just got out of hand, and that was it. But for whatever reason, this loss to the Falcons just kind of is going to stick with me. And yet you talk about all that, and then 9.5, like you said, Jimmy, is just a lot. And then meanwhile, we're looking at the Saints, who, and Gary, you talked about this earlier, they had a bad loss to the same Falcons team the week before that. So this is a game I've talked myself into both sides, and I could see it going either way, because I could easily see the Saints just, you know, getting ahead and pulling away with their running game. But at the same time, it's so many points that I think I will dive in, and this is not going to be a best bet, but I think I will go with Carolina one last time before I'm ready to call it a season for them.
Yeah, you mentioned Kyle Allen regressing. I wonder, too, Gary, you would know this when, you know, doing the deep dive podcast and stuff like that. I think other teams, then, when you have a rookie quarterback like that, they get film. And once they get film after 2-3 games, those coaches make the adjustments on a rookie like that, and that could be a reason, too. So now he goes into New Orleans to face that defense.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. They obviously, teams are taking away some of the routes he liked, quite clearly. The other thing is, I mean, he was benched at the University of Houston after he transferred from Texas A&M because he had turnover problems. And I said last week when I took the over in that Falcons game, I said, he had two turnovers. They came up empty in the red zone twice. He had a bad red zone interception. he's not going to do that again this week. And of course, he had three of them.
Four picks.
Did end up either he threw one in the red zone and two were just outside the red, like, you know, 21, 22 yard line. So essentially took three scoring chances off the board in that game. I do like the under here. I think they're going to be really conservative, Carolina. I do think they still have a good defense. It's obviously an opponent they're familiar with. I think they can sort of stay within striking distance here. That line is tough, though. 9.5 is – I'm really on the fence. I think I picked the Saints in the online board that we do, but I do kind of want to lean Carolina now. I'll probably just pray to Pan the Goat God on Sunday morning and see what he has to say about this one.
Yeah, like I said, I thought the line was so high when it first came out. I was – you know, I'm thinking Carolina, not a bad team, but they have really played poorly lately. And, you know, you would have to imagine – I mean, the guy's in phenomenal shape, but sooner or later, you know, Christian McCaffrey has to get a little bit worn down from just being their entire offense. So I'm going to stay away from that game. If I went somewhere, I would go with the over. I do think there'll be points here. In the next game, the Raiders, red hot Raiders, go into MetLife Stadium. One of the worst stadiums in all of sports, by the way, to face the Jets. The Raiders, 3-point road favorites across the country. The total here is 45.5, Gary.
In my most terrified voice, I kind of really like the Jets.
Oh, God.
It's, I don't know. I mean, look.
Big wins against the Giants and Redskins have sold you?
I've been saying all year, you know, the Jets just need to get right. They need to get confidence in the young quarterback. They're not as bad as what you've seen. The thing that's kind of interesting in this matchup to me is, look, the Jets defensively, their Achilles heel is they don't have cornerbacks who can cover. The Raiders, you know, as good as their passing game has been, they don't have world beaters at wide receiver. Jets could make anyone into a world beater, though. But I just think the Raiders coming across country, early start, Chiefs coming up next week. I think the Jets are going to steal this one, which obviously this will now be a 72-3 Raiders victory.
Mitch?
Yeah, I just realized the Jets have three wins this season, so all three of their wins are against the NFC East. Is that right? And they haven't beaten anyone else because
they beat the Cowboys
earlier in the season and the Redskins.
Yeah.
You know, look at that. So maybe I'll put them in the NFC East. Maybe they're a playoff team. I don't know. I had this in my notes. This is a Gary Gramling body clock game, so obviously mm-hmm. we're on the lookout for that always. You made a good point about the Chiefs game being next week. I don't know if they're if this is a look-ahead game for them. I feel like they have good vibes right now, and they're hanging in. Everyone's talking and tweeting about the Raiders being a playoff team, and it really is very possible. They're hanging in there in the wild card and even in the AFC West race, which, you know, I don't think they're going to win the division, but they have been better than expected. They're getting a ton of credit now. The big storylines, everyone's talking about their rookie class. They've got good players on both sides of the ball as rookies. Derek Carr has definitely been better than I expected going into the season, and I will give him some credit. The Raiders are a team that I thought would be in the market for a new quarterback in 2020 when they moved to Vegas, but now I think everyone watching this team, probably you got to expect that Carr's going to be their QB for that first home game in Vegas, and he's earned it by the way he's played this season. So this is another one where I look at two teams and it's a field goal spread, and one of these teams is a playoff contender and the other one's not. And I know the Jets are feeling a little better about themselves right now, but I just think the Raiders are a better team, and it's a 3-point spread. So I know they're flying across the country, but I think you just got to pick them here and just go Raiders -3.
Yeah, I love the Raiders here. I'm on the bandwagon. I'm not nervous about the cross-country thing. I think that gets overrated. What I'm a little nervous about is that next week they play in Kansas City. So you hope there's not a little look-ahead letdown here against the Jets. Mitch hit it right on the head. I've watched the Raiders a lot because I've been betting them. Derek Carr is playing great. He has improved immensely as the season has gone on, mm-hmm. and I think he's going to be just way too much for that Jet defense to handle. So I like the Raiders a lot here, only laying the field goal. Next game, and this is going to be a rough one, you have the Redskins, who are the worst team to watch in the league, facing a quarterback who, I mean, is really not fun to watch in Jeff Driskel. This is going to be ugly. The Lions go into Washington giving 3.5 total, 41.5, Mitch.
Yeah, this is the official gross game of the week, I think. Yeah. The Lions, who I've been low on, and now obviously they take a step back without Matthew Stafford. They've been in some games, though. They lost by a touchdown to the Cowboys and Bears and Raiders looking at their schedule. But the Redskins are so bad. You know, they finally snapped. They had that streak where they hadn't scored a touchdown in, what, like 3.5 games. And then they did finally score, but not until they were down 34-3 to the Jets. They're just too incompetent, I think. So, you know, even though the Lions are missing their quarterback, it's still Dwayne Haskins going up against an NFL defense. And I don't want to be too dismissive of Haskins. I'm not going to like rip him and say he's not going to have a good career, because who knows, but I think it's obvious that he is not equipped to succeed this year as a rookie with these pieces around him. I mean, it's just a disaster every week for this guy. I know people are excited that Darius Geis is back and he had a 45-yard touchdown catch last week, but still, last week 7 carries for 24 yards. Adrian Peterson 9 carries for 25 yards. This is another one where, you know, I don't want to overthink it too much. I think the Lions are going to win the game, and so if I have to lay 3.5 points, just do it.
Gary, you're a Lions expert. Jeff Driskel going to get the job done here on the road?
I was gonna say, Jeff Driskel giving more than a field goal on the road. Yep. Who would have thought it? I like the Lions here. I mean, obviously, it's more a function of the Redskins just being, they're playing a quarterback who doesn't belong on the field, and I don't know. I don't know what the rest of that team must be thinking right now, considering how the season has gone and considering they know they have a quarterback out there they can't win with. You know, Daryl Bevel has worked wonders, made Stafford into a MVP-caliber quarterback this year, making Jeff Driskel look like a usable guy. I don't know about the Lions' defense. They've been bad every week. I don't know about their roster building, but Lions, yeah, I'll lean Detroit here.
It's always risky to do this with a team as bad as the Lions, because they could, as bad as the Redskins, excuse me, because they can just totally lay down and then all hell can break loose in terms of points. But I don't know how you don't bet the under in this one. I think you will. I don't see how these teams light up the scoreboard, and you got 41.5. So that's where I would go in this one. Last 1 o'clock game on Sunday. It's a good one. Seahawks go into Philadelphia. Eagles coming off the loss to the Patriots. Eagles 1.5-point home favorites here against Seattle. Total 49. Gary,
the unflex game here, knocked out of the Sunday night slot to 1 p.m. So body clock shout out to start this with Seattle. It's funny because if you're looking at the matchup, you do think the Seahawks match up well with the Eagles. Eagles have bad linebackers defensively. Offensively, the Eagles have probably the slowest receiving core this side of Rutgers that they're trotting out there right now. And
poor Rutgers taking a shot on an NFL gambling podcast.
They can't escape it. Yeah. And then Seattle, obviously, you know, their pass defense is their issue. I don't know if the Eagles can take advantage of that. I will say, though, and I mentioned on the show before, I keep my red zone performance luck spreadsheet here that I always update, and the Seahawks have ranked near the top all year. Seahawks are also there. I hesitate to ever criticize the Seahawks because it just seems like they pull out these games even though there's no logic behind it. Seahawks are plus 21 in point differential total all season, which is not very high. When you factor in red zone luck and you adjust it to what they sort of should be for point differential if they were sort of a league average red zone team, as I've said, year to year, red zone is just very volatile. It really does come down to luck a lot of times, but they'd be minus 6.2 in point differential on the year, which would rank 17th in the league. And I don't know. I don't know how they're doing it, because we saw the Monday night game and Russell Wilson was talking up like, oh, if we get into a close game, we know how to make the plays, which sounds good. And they won. But the way they won was Russell Wilson played like Mitchell Trubisky through a horrific interception in overtime, and then a rookie kicker happened to miss a kick brutally. So it's tough to say, like, oh, see, Russell was right. They know how to win close games. Well, sometimes you just get some breaks. For that reason, I'm leaning Eagles here.
I agree with pretty much everything you said about the Seahawks, and yet it would not surprise me at all to see them in the Super Bowl because this is it works for them, and they've been winning ugly and exceeding people's expectations for like the whole Pete Carroll era. It feels like. I am going to go and full disclaimer, I am the resident Eagles homer on this podcast, as regular listeners know. But I just think the Eagles are too banged up. I mean, they just have – they're dealing with so many injuries. And last week their wide receiver core was – you know, they signed Jordan Matthews off the street, and then he's got six targets and turned it into one catch. But now Nelson Aguilar, who everyone was criticizing after last week, now he's looking like he's injured. If Alshon Jeffrey can't play, it's like, you know, who's going to be out there for them? Meanwhile, Jordan Howard probably still hurt, so – Carson Wentz has nobody to throw the ball to outside of Miles Sanders, who is a running back and has had some of their most explosive games in the passing game this year. Meanwhile, the Lane Johnson injury is probably the most important one, and that was really the turning point in the whole game against New England. The Eagles got up 10-0, and then Lane Johnson was out, and then they started giving up sacks. And Jadeveon Clowney is going to be seeking out backup offensive linemen. And I just think it can be a lot of trouble. I would love to pick the Eagles here. I still believe in their chances to beat Dallas in Week 16 and still steal the NFC East. But looking at this game this week and seeing how banged up they are, even I'll admit, I think you got to lean Seahawks.
Yeah, I love the Seahawks here. I just think they're the better team on paper. And with the injuries that Mitch went through, I mean, the Eagles are just – they have no firepower whatsoever right now on offense, and they're banged up on the offensive line. Even when their receivers, I mean, here's the thing about it. When their receivers are healthy, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar, that's not a great receiving. I mean, their offense are the tight ends, which are good. But this is just one of those games where Pete Carroll gets the Seahawks across the country, gets them fired up. Russell Wilson plays great, and they pull out a close victory. So that's just a It's like one of it's a typical Seahawks, you know, 26-23 type win there.
None of that will play out, but the Seahawks will like recover four fumbled punts and win the game that way, and they'll be like,
And Jimmy, it'll be like a weird like 26-24, some weird score,
All right, that wraps up the 1 o'clock schedule. We will now get to the 4 o'clock games. Only two games at 4 o'clock on Sunday because Fox wants to basically clear the entire country for Cowboys-Patriots. Before we get to that, the other game, the Jaguars. Nick Foles not exactly making people forget Gardner Minshew just yet. Go into Tennessee to face the Titans. The Titans are only 3-point favorites at home. Total here is 41.5, Mitch.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I've been quietly supporting the Jags all year, and I've wanted them to hang in that AFC playoff picture. Two tough games in a row for them. They lost 26-3 to Houston and then 33-13 against Indy. And so this would seem like the right time for me to hop off the Jaguars bandwagon. But guess what? Dramatic pause.
I mean,
I'm doing it.
Nick Foles does not deserve a dramatic pause right now.
Neither of these teams make any sense. The whole AFC South doesn't make any sense. It never does. I feel like in this division, every single year, teams just show up in the wrong week and they don't do what you think. This is the classic George Costanza division where whatever you want to predict, just pick the exact opposite and you've got just as good a shot of that working out. The Titans, we haven't seen them since they beat the Chiefs in that crazy game with the two botched field goals at the end. That was 2 weeks ago. Then they had their bye week. This just feels like the perfect AFC South upset to me where the Jags get a bounce back win. The Titans get a letdown loss. Everything stays totally jumbled. You mentioned Minshew. This is a rematch of a primetime game from really like the height of when Minshew Mania, I guess, was starting. I think that was his first win. So the last time we saw these teams, it was Mariota versus Minshew, and now it's Tannehill versus Foles. I just think, who knows? Embrace chaos. Jaguars +3. This is going to be ugly. No one's going to be watching this game. Everyone's going to be watching Cowboys-Patriots. They're going to be like, what's going on the other channel right now? Give me the Jags.
This is totally set up for one of those Titans after a win against the Chiefs bye week stinker. Gary, what do you think?
I really like the Titans. I'm probably going to best bet the Titans in the end here. I've been driving the Titans bandwagon for a couple of years as the most underrated team in football.
Off a cliff?
It's not quite. I thought once they put Tannehill in.
Where exactly does a Titans bandwagon get driven to? I mean, not the playoffs.
We mostly hit up the Midwest, see if anyone there is looking for a team to root for.
It's a depressing ride right there.
Swing by Des Moines, Iowa State Fair, see what's going on there.
Gary is a regular on Tennessee radio, by the way, right?
Not a regular. but I like that. I love what they do defensively. I love the talent in the secondary. Even with Malcolm Butler out, I think they're just so good in the secondary. I think that allows him to hang around. Now, obviously, they have a unique approach on offense. I don't know. Do the Jaguars want to tackle Derrick Henry after, you know, arrested Derrick Henry after a bye week here? They had, before that Thursday night game, the Titans had won four straight against the Jaguars. We remember last year when Henry just sort of ran roughshod over them. So I like the Titans here a lot. And I am not a Tannehill guy, but I think Tannehill is doing more than Mariota, and that's enough for them.
I have no feel for this game, so we'll just keep it moving. Because the big game of the week, it will be the highest rated game of the 2019 season thus far. That'll get eclipsed on Thanksgiving. But before then, the highest rated game of the season will come Sunday at 4:25. The Cowboys go into New England. The Patriots, 6.5-point favorites, even though Tom Brady thinks they have the worst offense in the NFL. The total, again, 45.5, even though Brady is wanting to vomit over his performance this season. What happens in this one, Gary Gramling?
I was going to say, Brady's out there combing through Antonio Brown's social media channel, seeing what he can like and emoji smiley face.
How about the tease by Gronk this week? Big announcement coming. I'm hosting a party.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rob.
Sun rises in East. Gronkowski hosts party.
I mean, Patriots fans actually got pissed off about that, which is amusing. But they will not have Gronk. They will not have Antonio Brown. They are stuck with basically Julian Edelman and James White.
Too many points for the Patriots to be given right now. Mitch will remember this game well. The Patriots right now remind me of the 2015 Patriots. I don't know if you guys remember, they played that Sunday night game in Denver in the snow, lost to Osweiler, Gronkowski got hurt. They came back the next week and played the Eagles, the Chip Kelly Eagles on a Sunday, and they were just running out. They might have had Edelman for that game, but other than that, it was like they were running out basically the preseason lineup. Could not do anything. That's what happens to this team, is they run out of weapons and they just they can't do it, and they start doing gadget plays. Their one big play in that Eagles win back in 2015 was the pass to, I can't remember who threw it. Might have been Edelman to Brady up the sideline.
Right.
But Brady had like a 50-yard catch, and like that's all they did in that game.
I might be wrong. I believe that Patriots Broncos game was the week that the SI cover had a photo from that game that just had an obvious holding penalty right on the cover of SI, and all the fans were just furious that this uncalled penalty was on the cover. I'm not talking about the Eagles game the week after, but that seems to be my recollection from that 2015 November-y kind of year. I may have to look this up, but I think there was just a bad holding penalty on the cover of SI.
It sounds familiar, but Patriots fans complain about it?
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't sound like them. That doesn't quite track. But it feels like that. You had the two gadget plays last week against the Eagles. Obviously, one of them went for their lone touchdown. It feels like that type of year right now for the Patriots, where they're gonna scrape together these games. I do think they will hold Dak in check, but at the same time, I think this is like a 17-13 type of win for New England. And I just want to throw out one more note. And I hate to be the guy who last time these teams played,
when was
gallon of gas was, but back in 2015, the Cowboys quarterback was Brandon Whedon when they hosted the Patriots, and Greg Hardy was playing for the Cowboys.
I wish you had asked me that, because I knew that. If you had said guess who the Cowboys QB was, I was ready with an answer. Yeah, I was a deep dive in the Getty photo archive this morning.
We'll get in and post. We will we'll flip it up.
Not to be a party pooper and bring this back to betting, but you said 17-13, so that total is 45. I would assume you're loving the under in this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mitch?
Yeah, so, Gary, I agree with a lot you said about the sides. The spread, it feels a little high. I think we've all talked about this all season, that the Patriots seem vulnerable. A lot of their early season final scores were totally inflated by defensive touchdowns. I know the defense is really, really good, but that's also not sustainable to just expect that they're going to get one, two, or more defensive touchdowns every single week. you know, you guys are talking about like Brady acknowledging that the team is defense and special teams first. And again, it's like anybody who has watched this team all year knows that, but it's still interesting to see Brady come out and say it out loud. So yeah, I think for a lot of the same reasons, Gary, that you said, I don't have to repeat them all, but this is, it would not surprise me to see the Patriots win this game by 7 to 10 points, but I think just looking at it and being forced to put down a pick, I think I'm going to take Cowboys with the 6.5, obviously.
You know,
you should take the points.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of think that Brady, especially the Brady Belichick combo, I think they're both. I mean, everyone thinks Belichick is an evil genius, and I think Brady has a little of that in him too. And I think his whole "woe is me" act on earlier this week, and you know, basically saying Julian Edelman is their best quarterback these days, is a bunch of bull. And I see him coming out here and playing a big time game. I really do. But 6.5 is still high. I agree. I do think it's going to be very low scoring. I think this is like a 24-10 Patriots win, 24-13 Patriot win. I think Brady plays well. The offense plays a little better. Their defense keeps it rolling. I'm nervous about laying 6.5 only because, like I said, you know, it's 24-10 and you get a little backdoor action or something like that. But I do like the under. I don't see either of these teams, you know, going for 30 points in this one at all. So that's the game of the day there on Sunday, and that wraps up the daytime portion of Sunday. We'll now go to the primetime games. All right, primetime Sunday night. This was flexed in. The Niners at home giving a field goal to the Packers. Total here, nice and high, 47.5, Mitch.
Yeah, flexed in, so this game better live up because the nation, we could have been watching Eagles-Seahawks. But no, I do. I think this is going to live up. I'm really excited to watch this game. This is just going to be awesome. I think a lot of times we talk about like it's fun to bet on a crappy game you don't want to watch because it at least makes it interesting. This is one where I'm almost happy to just not have any action on it and be able to just sit and enjoy a good football game. But this one's a little bit tough to read. I feel like people have been waiting all season for the 49ers to come back down to earth. But, you know, both teams are good. The Packers are really good. They were bad in their last trip to California. And it's interesting, like the story of the game now is what day they're going to fly out there because, and you know, I guess they're going to fly out on Saturday instead of Friday. And to me, it's just like a little bit funny. Like, I guess when the story of the game is the travel logistics, a lot of times it means you don't have much to nitpick about the actual team and how they're playing. But I think this is like a field goal game one way or another. I just see this coming down to a late kick in the last 2 minutes or in overtime. And I think the Packers, either team could easily win this game outright. So I'll just take the Packers and take the 3 points. And then if it comes down to a field goal at the end, like I think, it's either going to be a win or a push. And but two good teams, fun game. I can't wait for it. Let's just, I'll take Green Bay and the points.
Gary?
I like the Niners here. I think everyone's, like Mitch said, has sort of been waiting for the Niners to have their collapse. While they got banged up, Jimmy Garoppolo obviously started feeling a little bit better about his knee, and you're seeing what they're capable of doing offensively if they have to throw the ball. And, I mean, how many teams are we worried about the quarterback situation, worried about the passing game? I don't know if you really be worried about that with the 49ers anymore. I'll go back to my trusty red zone luck spreadsheet for this one. Packers have been the luckiest red zone team in the NFL this year. If you factor
now,
that
break,
in,
break that down for me in terms of this, though. What do you mean by lucky?
So,
like, what does that mean exactly?
So red zone year to year, right. there's really no such thing as a good red zone team.
Right.
Obviously, there are. You can look at like Washington's offense and be like, okay, they're probably not going to score a lot of points in the red zone. But for the most part, teams should be expected to hover around the league average in red zone luck.
Okay, so if they're way above average, they're considered lucky?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's not necessarily lucky. It's not like they got a series of like tipped passes.
That's
or something
what, okay.
like that.
All right.
It's their red zone performance, which should, again, we've looked at it year to year. You would expect like, oh, the Patriots must be a great red zone offense. Like,
right.
No, there are years that are like 27th in red zone offense.
Gotcha.
Like that's just
record in close games and fumble recoveries or similar.
Fumble recoveries are good.
I
always red zone's my favorite one because it really does have the biggest swings and it's so impactful, red zone performance. But also opposing kicker performance is a big one. You have no control over that as a team. And as Mitch said, the old fumble recovery one. But yeah, Packers have been number one in red zone performance both sides of the ball this year as far as points per red zone possession. When you factor that in, they're actually a negative in point differential this year in what would be expected. 49ers are still sitting up there at number two behind only New England. But that's my way of saying I think the Packers have outperformed, or their record has sort of told a story that that the performance does not necessarily tell, whereas the 49ers, I think, are much more for real. And I think when you look at the three-point line, this is painting those teams as being evenly matched teams on a neutral field. I don't think that's true. I do think the Niners should be giving like 4.5, 5 points in this game. So I like the Niners given only three.
I like the Packers. I think the Niners got their first loss 2 weeks ago, and then last week the Cardinals gave them everything they could. I think you're going to see a little here regression by the Niners over these few weeks. Packers coming in off the bye, Aaron Rodgers off the bye. I think he has a big performance, and I think the Packers get an outright win on Sunday night. Monday night, I usually turn things over to the fellas here to go first, but I'm going to take this one first. The Ravens giving 3 to the Rams, total 46.5 in L.A. This is my betting game of the year. On those fake tout services where they tell you to send $25 to a 900 number, and they go, this is my 1,000-star lock, the guarantee. This is it for me right here. Here, I'm just going to hit you with facts, just a plain fact that you can't dispute. The Rams stink. The Rams stink. Here's their last three games. Now, people are going to look at their defensive numbers and see the points they've given up in their past three games. These are the quarterbacks the Rams have played the last 3 weeks. Mitch Trubisky.
Mitchell.
And
I didn't mean
Mason Rudolph and Andy Dalton. Those games don't count. This is a whole other thing that's going to go on here Monday night, and you're only laying a field goal. And you could give me this nonsense about the road. The Rams don't have a home field. The road teams always have more fans there than the Rams. And you're only laying 3 with Lamar Jackson against the Rams' offense is inept. They have injuries all over the place. This line, now listen, when you like a game that much, if you're listening to this, you should put $1 million on the Rams. But this is by far my biggest play of the entire year, Ravens -3. All right, Gary, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was teetering on the edge of best betting the Rams, actually. I'm probably not going to, in part because of Jimmy's impassioned speech.
Well,
but
Did you watch them play against Mitch Trubisky and they had a struggle to win that?
And by the way, I'll see you in Canton when Trubisky, Dalton, Mason Rudolph class going in. I'm just kidding. They wouldn't.
Lost to Mason Rudolph, just for the record.
They did. Yeah. So you just kind of want, obviously, as Chris Collinsworth told everyone, they had that revamped line. They had a different approach to the run game. It worked for a little while last week against the Bears. And you saw flashes of the old Rams. I will say that. I did. What had caught my eye really about this, because look, X's and O's, it's the Ravens. Ravens are the better team. There's no doubt about that. A betting system, a Scott Gramling special betting system had caught my eye. Road favorites who are outscoring opponents by 10 or more per game on the year after a 10-plus point win, 18-53 against the spread over the last 10 seasons. So it's basically telling you really good teams coming off really big wins sometimes get overrated by the public here. So.
Good.
I will turn this into a Rams lean as opposed to a Rams.
Yeah,
best
explain
bet.
To me how they're going to keep up with the Raven offense on the scoreboard.
They got their own guy. They're all as my good friend Andy Benoit says. They're all professionals.
When you said overrated by the public, I look at a 3-point spread. I should say I'm with Jimmy 100% here. I look at a 3-point spread, and that doesn't sound to me at all like they're being overrated by the public. I love the Ravens here too. This is going to be a best bet for me on Baltimore. This is just a situation where they've played so well that I'm just going to pick them until I am given a reason not to. They're not just winning, they're beating up on teams. They've played, the Bengals, whatever, but they've beaten now the Texans, the Patriots, the Seahawks. I mean, this is a really good team. I'm with you, Jimmy. The Rams, they're just not what they were last year. I know they're 6-4, but you kind of look at them and it's like, I don't know how, and I still don't think that they're going to be a playoff team in that really deep NFC. And, I think this is one where we could be waking up Monday or Tuesday morning and looking at it like, uh-oh, like the Rams are really in trouble here.
Right.
And I think everyone's going to realize that. But yeah, 3 points. I mean, I'm just, this is an easy pick.
They get Brandon Cooks back, but they're still without Robert Woods. And there's just no, you know, that offense is struggled big time. You know, struggled to, you know, 17 points against the Bears, who have a good defense. The week before, 12 points at Pittsburgh. You know, had a, you know, then the week before, 2 weeks before that, they were in London against the Bengals. I've not seen anything from the Rams. I've seen nothing from the Rams that makes me think they can keep up on the scoreboard with Lamar Jackson. And I don't think the Rams defense slows down Lamar Jackson either, for that matter. So, perfect storm here for me. Usually, you know, when I like a game, it's anti one team, pro. This is the perfect storm where it's a pro and anti, pro and anti worlds coming together. All right, let's go to the best bets portion of the show. We have recapped, well, we have previewed every game from week 12. Now we will tell you who we like the most this week. Mitch, you want to get started?
Well, first, I don't think, did we mention our records at the beginning of the show? I don't know if we
did. No, but you can give them now.
So last week, Gary, you and I were 3-2.
I went 1-4, Jimmy, pathetic.
Had a tough one. That's not why I brought it up.
No, no, but just pathetic, 1-4.
I just want to say, everyone was going nuts about that. This was like kind of annoying to me. The Arizona-San Francisco game, I don't know, that had that wild play at the end.
Right.
Everyone was calling this like the bad beat of the century.
It was a bad push of the century.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is we have seen much worse, where it actually swings the whole line for everybody involved. Like that Redskins-Chiefs game at the very end a couple years ago on a Monday night, that to me was an incredible one, and I liked it being on Monday night because it swung every single fantasy matchup too on all the defenses. Yeah. Like this... this game, it was, you know, it was big and it was dramatic and it affected a lot of people, but also it was sort of like at worst you got a push instead of a win. And it also, so I had Arizona last week, and because the line was higher, it was 11 or 11 and a half earlier in the week, a lot of people saw it and it happened, and unless you bet on Sunday, it still didn't even affect you. So, you know, I was totally unaffected by that.
I saw it had moved to 9 at some places.
Okay, well, that is big, but still, I'm saying there were a lot of people who weren't. Although I will add one thing that I do like. Remember, they changed the rule, and 2 years ago, they would have made them come out and kick the extra point. They changed that after the Minneapolis miracle when they decided how stupid that is to make it. But anyway, I'm just saying this was very dramatic. It could have been a lot worse for a lot more people, and people still went kind of nuts about it. But anyway, I was 3-2 last week, 14-10 on the season. Gary, 3-2 last week, 13-10-1 on the season. Jimmy, a tough one.
1-4.
12-11 on the season, but we're all above 500, and I think we're all going to rebound. All right, let's move on this week. I have a couple that I was listening to you guys. It sounds like we will not have too much overlap on our best bets here, except for that last game. But I'm going to do Atlanta -4.5 against Tampa. I'm going to do, I feel pretty gross about it, but I'm going to take the Giants +6.5 at Chicago. This is a pick against Chicago, not a pick for the Giants. That's how I will rationalize doing this in my brain, but I'm going to do it. That Steelers-Bengals game, I will take the under 39, which again is a rarity for me, on a total instead of a side. And then, Jimmy, I know we're going to be on this one together, but that Monday night game, Baltimore -3 against the Rams, that's my fourth, and those are my four for the week.
Gary?
I just got four of them, two sides, two totals here. I will go Buffalo, second straight week. Buffalo -4 against the Broncos. I will go Tennessee -3 in the undercard game, hosting the Jaguars there. And two unders. Jimmy, correct me if I'm wrong on the totals. I have under 47 on Panthers-Saints. And on Cowboys-Patriots, I have under 45.5.
Correct. Well, correct on both. Listen, I have like four or five I can give you. I'm going to give you one. If you want to make money this week and forget all the nonsense, lay low and just bet the Baltimore Ravens -3 Sunday night in L.A., 34-17.
Monday night.
You got to wait. Take a Sunday off from the betting. One game only, the Ravens. I want it to sit alone. That's how much I like it. That's it.
You want to go count it as two units in your best bets?
Sure.
Bet your whole bankroll here?
Yes.
How many units do you want to go with?
As many as you'll give me. I'll take all the
Gary,
units.
Gary, how many? What will we allow?
Give me all the units. I'll be going to Vegas after I win that bet.
Jimmy, you're in for two units.
All right.
I got it.
I'll take it. All right. That wraps up week 12 on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Check us out. We'll be posting earlier next week with Thanksgiving on Thursday. Well, obviously, this podcast usually comes out on Fridays. We will be live for your listening pleasure on Wednesday next week, and we'll cover the three Thanksgiving games for you as well. So be sure to check us out on Wednesday next week. Good luck with the wagers this week, and we'll see you next week. Take care.